Son-in-law opened a drugstore in New Haven. In fact, business was good at first, doing all fine. Then he took in a partner with him. So they figured they have two drugstores. So they opened a drugstore on Grand Avenue, and they already owned Congress Avenue. They had a store. So went to Grand Street, the Negroes that were patronizing before says, oh, the Negroes get so rich, you know. And my son-in-law and his partner used to do favors for them and they needed a prescription or something and wait for their money and so forth. And then they, rather than pay him, they duck, go around the corner and buy from the white man. You know, same thing, you take a prescription and go over there.
Why do you think we don't have that kind of unity among ourselves?
Now, I'll tell you. See, that man years ago, from slavery time, he divide and conquer. You see, he figured if I keep you and me from communicating, we might have something in common that we can might work out something, and he would lose control of us. So he would tell you, you're better than him, and he's better than you. Now we're looking at each other, down on each other. Now he tells this group and even the whole neighborhood. Now if a new family moves in there, some of the creditors tell you, don't bother with them, and you tell them the same people don't bother you. So they can be living there 5 years and not even say hello to you. Or if they do, just look at you like you're under them, and I look at them like they're under me. Now, that has a lot to do with it. Now, your states, even the states. I remember when we were in North Carolina, people migrated from South Carolina. Now, just over the bridge. They would tell us in North Carolina, you're better than them. They work for 25 cents, you work. They want to come up here and work for your 50 cents. You know? Or they'll come up here and take your 50 cents away because they work for 25 cents. You know? Put the fear, you know, dividing you, see? And it's hard for us to get out from that day old division stuff. We got to learn that we are black and we not white. As a man said, Englishman said, if you're not black, if you're not white, you're black and something else, you ain't white. So therefore, be what you are. Now we have, I've looked at it in many ways myself. And you see, some people really, they don't have anything. And some of them don't even have a good name. Because you can't depend on them. And still they think they're so hot stuff, you know. And they don't know anything. Some of them don't even have a decent job. They want to be put up on a pedestal like I am the greatest, you know. And that's one thing we got to get out of our mind. We got to get out that we're one. We got to be one people, just like the Italians. See how they can come over here and get together. Look at the Puerto Ricans. In 10 years from now, they'll be better off than we are. One thing that they have to their advantage, they came from a country that's organized. See, we're great for joining things, you know, but we don't get organized first. We got to get organized. Now, once you get organized, you got something going because you got something in common right there. We organized. Now, we start out saying, well, we're going to build a building. But we know we're going to build a building because we have put our mind to do it. Just like anything you want to do, like a man and wife, we're going to buy a house. Now, you're one of the court. Now, we're going to buy a house. Now, I can't take my money and throw it away. She's going to buy the house. She can't take her money and throw it away. And I'm going to try to buy a house and carry the weight and everything. It don't work that way. We both got to be a little court. We're going to work together. You want to have God didn't bless us with many children, but if you want the children to have an education, you both got to work together to see if the kid gets an education. You know, it's just one of those things where we haven't been what we should supposed to have been in the beginning. And another thing too, in many cases from down south, most of our black ministers from down south, they had what you call it, a captive audience, wherein they could tell you anything they want, and you don't say nothing back because you're captive. And he get up there and tell you, a lot of them down there, tell you what that man told him to tell you. See? A lot of those ministers come down home, and a lot of them practice some of it right up in your ears. Now, you don't do that no more. You know, you're supposed to teach me. Teach me something, you know? Teach me that I don't have to let this man's foot stay on my neck, you know? Let's get it off. How are we going to get it off? Let's cooperate. Let's work together. Let us come in harmony. Let us know where we're going. Let's organize. See? Not just join. Let's organize. Get the thing straight. Then we can take the joiners later, because we're organized. If you're going to come in here, we're organized. You got to fit in this clock, you know? Otherwise, you're not getting along with us. So now that's the way I see the whole thing so far as our race is concerned. And another thing, it happens because sometimes states where you come from, they tell me that the black people from Florida have been taught that they're the smartest people of all the black people in the United States. And some of them really believe it. Some of them really believe it. And some of them don't know how to pull it out of a boot. But still, they have that belief that they are smarter than any other black person. Now, I worked with one, and he just knew he was the smartest fellow in the world. And you couldn't knock it out of his head that he wasn't smart. So those are things that it's instilled in a mind, and a mind is a funny thing. Something gets in there, it won't move, you know. And it's not flexible in some people. Mind's got to be soft and absorbing. See, you can't absorb anything new if you got something in there. It's so in there, so hard, you can't move nothing else in there. So that's the way I see our people. And unless some drastic changes are made in us, we got to make them ourselves. And
we say we must make it ourselves. In what way, Mr. Amos, as a group, is it coming as far as black leadership is concerned, or where is it coming from? In Bridgeport, most specifically.
Yeah, we got to get together. Now, look, your wife is doing a good job trying to fight for what is ours. But there's always that faction that's always against us, and half of us won't come in on what's good for us, you know?
I see.
Now, it's not hurting me, so why should I bother about it? See, now, we got to lose that atmosphere. We got to say, well, now, if it's happened to them over there now, eventually it's going to happen to me later. So let's fight it over there before it spreads over here.
So
those are the things that I fought till I almost gave up one time. I said, now, what's the use to keep on fighting it? These people are going to always have the upper hand. They got the money, and they got the law, and all we got is just us and our few bucks. The money we need to fight them with all the time, we have to fight for everything anyway. They can sit back and wait till our coffers get low, and then they can move in. We got nothing to fight them with. See, now, I stop and think about that a lot of times. Now, if all of us get together and go around and tell them all, you're not going to touch this, and it's on the books here. This is A zone. It's supposed to be an A zone, and no zoning board has the right to change it.
I see.
I bought with this preference. I paid tax for this preference. This is a zone. Now, if we don't go down there in numbers and fight it like we're supposed to be, that's supposed to be if one but a few white people come there, they do anything they want. But one of few white people come in there with us.
Yes.
They would do anything they want because not enough of us going down there and fight.
I see.
I stuck my neck out in Bridgeport since I'm a kid. As I said, when John Lancaster was, I was still going to high school when John Lancaster was in charge of the NAACP. And I used to go down to the Y. I was one of them. I went down there trying to get a boy to go to YM. I put up $25 a year for that boy to go to YM. And Mr. Mitchell used to come in and had to collect that dollar every 2 weeks or whatever to get to make that before the year comes, come and collect from me to make sure that boy goes there. Now I'm in there, and I ain't got Chica Child at the time, but I want some kid to go there. So now those things that we gotta forget ourselves sometimes. We never got rich up to now, so don't try to get rich now, because you might get a living, but you ain't gonna get rich by stepping on somebody else. That's where a lot of people make the wrong mistake too, in our people. They're opportunists, you know. I'll use you to get where I want to get. Now, it's bad to say it, but I belong in an organization where I know some of the fellows have got up the high ring and ladder by using the order. Stepping on you, but
yes.
From something big out there with my chest stuck out going on. We're doing this and we're doing it. You're not doing anything. You just here to stick out your chest, say what we're doing. The little fellow down here shoveling snow is doing it. And you're using him to get your honors. Now, that I don't approve of. Now, we got to stop that. But as I said in Wyatt, sometimes I said when we talk, it's like when you try to tell somebody something that you think is good or your ideas. And she says to me sometimes, well, I'm going to stop trying to tell them that because you're just pouring water on the duck's back. You know, the water runs off the duck's back because his feathers are already oiled, you know. And it don't sink in. And a lot of them don't even hear. And so sometimes I just sit and listen to things, but I have very little to say because I'm wasting my time and theirs too. So I can't see too much change yet. But I do say this much. Let's get the younger people. That's where it's got to come from now. And stop being... When we go for school, let's stop jumping in on just a commercial course, just a general course or something. Let's jump in something hard. Like I say, I can do it, you know. You got to master anything that the other fellow can master. That's when they'll open their eyes. Now, we got some astronauts now, and going up cosmonauts, whatever you call them. We got some of them now. Now, younger people on the way up, steer them away from that easy thing. Why take Spanish when you speak Latin and French and all that stuff? Get away from that what you call the crowd stuff. Let's get up into where the action's going to be in the future.
Become more of an individual.
That's right. In time to come, this is going to be different. Houses are going to be different. So you might well get in on the ground floor now, especially the children, the young people. And as soon as we get them computer stuff, the system. Now, my granddaughter, she goes to school, private school, where they got computers in there already. Kids are learning to use the computer. So I told my wife, as soon as I find out the type of computer they are using in the school, as soon as she started knowing how to handle it pretty good, I'm going to buy her one. Because I work with a fellow who worked with a lady whose husband works at a computer maker, you know. He's an analyst, what you call it. And he can feed the thing, he can do mechanical work, whatever needs to be done on it. Yeah, he's good. And she says they're going to get their son one, but they're not buying yet because there's coming out a better one. And she says, when that comes out, he could get one for me cheaper. So I haven't said anything to my son-in-law about it, because I don't know whether they want her to go along the way she's doing, or whether we should sort of give a little push. So I let them decide. Mm-hmm. But I would buy one for her, just for her to get on the ground floor while they're giving her that thing, because it's good. Now, I see on television where the man already playing with his kid on television. Maybe you see it. Showing this kid to point the way, how you going, that's what it's going to be. Because the pick and shovel buddy is gone. Now, no more days like that. Now, even now, we're having the computers for everything. Man going to be able to set in his power and run his shop. He can look out of a big glass in there and see his shop working. Everything computer. So
there is hope for us.
That's right. Oh yes.
There is hope for us.
Oh, you know, there's never say die. That's why I say the fight. The fight is there. See, sometimes it might look a little dim, but don't give up. See, like I said, I don't give up. Sometimes I get disgusted, but never give up. Mm-mm. That's what we got to stay in.
Is there anything that you would like to say that I haven't asked, Mr. Amos?
No,
I've covered just about everything.
I think you did a very good job. And I've tried to tell you, some of it might have been a little piece, what I have experienced and what has happened, so far as my knowledge is concerned, about me and about conditions around Bridgeport. And as I said, Bridgeport so far is a growing man, you know, growing up from boy to become man. I don't see any drastic changes, you know. I see mediocre changes, but not a flood of changes, you know. But there are changes. As I think one of the big philanthropists said something like that, he said, nothing is definite but change.
Yes.
Change is a definite thing. Yes. So therefore, it may not, I may not see is as a rush, but I see it in many cases. When I look around, I see changes. Some of the changes I see are not so good. Now, like living conditions in Bridgeport for some of our people. Now, the housing situation is not so good. And the way people who get these houses, or some of them, don't take care. That the landlord gives some people, I've seen it done, a rent. Now we had it ourselves. You give somebody a house to live in, and because he paid you rent, he thinks he's making you rich. Now he's not able to buy his home. He hasn't been able to do it, maybe circumstances, you know, but everybody can't do it. You know, it's not meant for everybody. Maybe things just don't work right the same way for everybody. So now if he's unfortunate enough to be able to own his home, and somebody being kind enough to, good enough to let him have a rent, pay the man the rent. But a lot of them think that by them paying you their rent, they're making you rich. Now we had the home that my father-in-law left my wife and daughter and me in Greensboro. Now, beautiful home, seven-room house, tile baths, two tile baths, and one room, big room with just a half bath, tile floors, and hardwood floors, and plaster walls, beautiful doctor's house, and we had the school teacher staying there, and she said she would stay summers and she wouldn't go home because she wouldn't, since we're not living there, somebody probably vandals or mess up the house. And she would collect rent from other teachers that's going to live there. Live in this house, and we told her, well, you take care of the house for us, and we want down there, you know, the rent's a little cheaper. I says, well, you send us $72 a month. And that was about the going rate down that way for rent. So, all right, so she was glad to do it. And we told him then, I said, now that's for year round. Oh, yes, that's understood. So, we gave the house to her to take care of, and then one day, we get a letter, when the check's supposed to come. I can't send you no for $30. The plumber came and I had to do this and I did that. And I won't be able to send you no money. No more than this. Then we got told she's sending less and less. And it was about 2 years she would have stayed out. 2 or 3 years. 3 years. And in the winter, she would send, sometimes she'd send it right along, 2 or 3 months, good, regular. But when we sit down and started figuring out, I said, now look, We got to pay insurance. We got to pay the taxes. And other accidents we had to do, certain little work on the house, roof and stuff like that, which we were responsible for. I said, now, you figured out what she said, yes, not enough to even take care of that. I said, now, we don't pay. I said, we might as well sell that house down there, but since my daughter won't ever live down there, she said. So, the same summer that I was down there in 1954, I told my wife, I said, don't tell us when we're coming. It's summertime, vacation time. Don't tell her we're coming. We're going to go down there and we're going to save your house. And something was going on that I don't like, because she says in the summer come, I can't send you no rent in the summer because the teachers all go home. I just stay here to keep the vandals away, bothering your house. I said, I don't like the situation. She went down there, drove there. She had a sign in the yard, tourist. House so full of people, we couldn't get in. She got on the phone, called some of her neighbors and some of the people she knew to get the people out of the house with us. Then that's when I told them, we're going to sell the house. Well, if you sell, give me first preference to buy it. So, well, we let you know. And then she's on pins and needles. I said, and I said, something's going on wrong now. I didn't want us to anxious about the house. So we came back, said nothing. One Sunday we came to church. She sat on the front stoop where we lived at the time. And she says, have you decided what you want to do about that? I said, well, we'll let you know. So we had a lawyer down there to get us the best price we could get down there. So we went to the bank. The bank got us a good price, better pricing than the lawyer could get. But the bank wanted us to wait. Dribbles. I don't know. Once we get rid of the whole thing. So this lawyer we had, he told us what we could get. And the best price he could get anywhere was $11,000 at that time. That house had been up here at $100,000 for it. So my wife says, well, since we can't go out and live, my daughter only says when she gets graduated, she don't come out here to live. So we might as well sell it. So we wrote her a letter. Told her we contemplated selling. And the lawyer was Mr. Hammond before us. She'd get in touch with him. And he'd give her the price. So about 3 days later, after we sent the price down there to the lawyer, the check came in the mail. $11,000 check.
Let's see. Mm-hmm.
And I said, well, I see, that woman paid us for your house with your money. For our house, I mean.
Yes. Yes. Yes.
She didn't want to get rid of it too.
Yes.
So that's what I said. Mm-hmm. I said, if you want anything, be where it's at twice.
Yes, yes.
And the money, that house belonged to you. That money belonged to you. She paid you with your own money.
Yes. Yes.
So now you see, now that was that. Now we were doing her a favor. She didn't have to send us nothing in the summer if she was meant well.
Yes.
But send me in the wintertime when the teacher's there to make sure, you know.
Yes.
Now, if you can make that on your own, that's all I ask.
Yes.
If you're going to be straight.
Yes.
But don't tell me I can. Now, she put that in. After she said in the first, I said year round in the beginning.
Yes.
I want $72 a year round.
Yes.
Now, when she said write me a letter, I can't do it. All the teachers going on now. I just stay here and watch your house for you.
Yes.
You see. So now, those are the things we got to get out of our systems. See, now, we will, in a way, do each other when we don't have anything. You know what I mean? I don't have enough money to steal, but they broke in the house and stole.
Yes.
See, now,
yes.
Now, we're hurting each other. We don't go out there with a man got something and take that. Now, I walk by his house and go in there and have, keep
yes.
Clean and everything. But he come in and steal the little piece of radio I got and that
yes.
Thing that I struggle to get. And it don't make sense at all.
Yes.
And it's us who do it.
Yes.
And another thing we do. I was just hearing it on the radio and the television. And you see it in the street. You ever go down over on Newfield Avenue and and then Stratford Avenue, and just stand there, like go in the bank or come out of the bank and just stand there and watch somebody observe what's past. Yes. In the language you hear. And see, those are things we got to get away from. See, you got to act like you're somebody, but you don't have to put on no pedestal. Just be natural. Be a human being. But boy, some of the things you see over there on that side of town, in the language, if you drive up there and the light changes and you're supposed to go, he'll walk right in front of your car and look like stand there and talk to somebody on the porch and stand right in front of your car and the light's ready for you to go. And you blow your horn and say the thing, what kind of language you hear? Now you see, now those are the things, and killing in the dope, standing on his corner, see him selling that reapers and things like that. Now, and they're young fellas. Opportunities out there. But you can't sit there and stick a brain and put in your lap. My father told us when we were kids, he said, Sonny, in the moment I didn't have a lot of education, but my mother and father both had good motherhood. Sonny, he says, if you're going to work for a man and he tells you to be there at a certain time, you be there. He said, if a man's got a job, and you know he's got a job over there, and you go and ask him a job, he says, no, I can't. Come some other time. Come again. Come tomorrow. He said, now, he may be trying to get rid of you, but you go there tomorrow. And he says, come next week. You go there next week. He said, you keep on worrying him, and he's going to give you a job. You see, he knows that he'd be able to depend on you after you come there. He said, now that's another thing. We are not dependable enough, and many of us. Now I've had to cover for my people that worked with me in 42 years I was there. I had three of my people out of seven that I was in charge of. Gave me more trouble in them years that I worked there than the whole shop of people. Excuses, man, I bet you I could write a book on excuses, what they bring in. All kinds of niggas manufacturers excuses. And I know a lot of them, I know they're lies. See, that's what get me, you know they're lies. But I got to cover for him in order to make me look good. I got to tell a lie for him. But you think he'd ever come to my aid to make me look good? No. He want to hold me down. Now that's my people. You see, Brother Johnson, yeah, we have come a long way. It's that secret that goes. Brother, we got a long way to go.
Good. Well, thanks for the interview. Okay. The name is
you were
close on that note. All right.
Well, I told you I tried to remember as much as I could.
Yeah.